I think my comment after that is, I've got to follow that. Gracious. The Lord blessed him abundantly. I'm thankful I was here to hear it.
Amen.
And hope you'll pray for me this morning as we try to bring some things to God's Word. One of these days, you know, I look for a day, you know, the Word of God and the promises of God. That's where I want to turn to maybe this morning for a little while. But about the promises of God, Jesus looked at the people of Jerusalem and said, you'll not see me again till you call out. They've been blinded.
Yeah.
But I believe there's going to be a day come when they call out.
Praise
once
God.
Again.
Yeah.
It's blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So we'll look for that day. And, you know, it's good for God's people to be aware of what God's Word says. You know, you don't know what to look for if you don't know what it says. And so we ought to be well aware of what God's Word teaches us about many of these precious things. I want to turn over as a place to start, kind of along those lines. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at a portion of Scripture. I'd like to try to piece some pieces of Scripture together this morning and talk about, maybe if I've got you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll also turn over to Matthew chapter 4. And I think some of the things that have been on my mind may fit at least somewhat with some of the things you've already heard this morning. Jesus looked at a fellow by the, looked at Satan after he had gone into the wilderness and had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible talks about, first of all, if you go back into chapter 3, Jesus had just been baptized. The Bible says that he journeyed from Galilee to Jordan. He sought out John. He knew who he needed to go see to be baptized by.
Yep.
The man that was preaching the gospel at that time was John the Baptist. And Jesus sought him out, submitted himself. The Savior, the Creator, submitted himself unto a man by the name of John, his forerunner, who had been called out by the prophets that there would be a forerunner that would come before him. He came. That's another important point that we'll maybe look at just a little bit this morning. But he came, Jesus went and was baptized by him. As he was baptized, the Bible says, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus set an example for us, by the way, that when we go and do what God would command us to do, he's well pleased with you and I. To take up his cross and follow him. So then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was afterward and hungered, when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Jesus then quotes a scripture from the Old Testament. We'll try to take a look at that if we can this morning. And he answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we go back over into Deuteronomy, I'll go there maybe in just a minute, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll find the context of what Jesus was quoting in that particular case, and I hope I can give some light to that this morning, if the Lord would bless me for just a little while. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, beginning with verse 17, he says, when I was therefore thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? Am I coming and doing this after the flesh? No. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea.
Yeah.
For all the promises of God are yea in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Amen.
God's promises are yea and amen.
Right.
They're true and very true. And then Jesus looks at Satan and tells him, when he tries to tempt him to turn stones to bread, which he could have done for his physical edification. Wouldn't have been a big job for Jesus to do that.
Amen.
But he reminds him that we don't just live by bread alone,
right.
By physical, I'm going to say it this way, by physical bread,
right.
But by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Our lives today, the hope that we have of a future, the hope we have of a right here and now, is built on the promises and the word of God.
Amen.
We have no hope. You know, it's important. The Bible tells us, Paul told us over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he said, we're saved by hope. He said, but hope that's seen is not hope. It's what we're looking forward to. And then I understand that word is that the hope is a sure promise of God. It's not just a wish and a prayer. But I'm telling you, we're living today in hope of a day that's yet to come. And we're living in that day by by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, because it's true and very true. It's yea and it's amen. And the promises of God can be counted on when everything else fails. We go back over into the now we'll go back to Deuteronomy and look at where the Lord was quoting from, where Jesus was quoting from there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Okay, and there's some other places we might turn to in the Old Testament as well, because very, very important stuff. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, again, the context, and I know most of you know this, but looking down through the Word of God, the children of Israel have dwelled 40 years in the wilderness. Now they're approaching the time of going into Canaan's land, and Moses is giving them the lecture. he's giving them the Word, said, okay, guys, do you understand, you know, God told them, you know, they didn't enter in the first time because of unbelief. The children of Israel, the Jews of the day that Brother Buddy was talking about, they are blinded in part because of unbelief and because of the killing of the prophets and all those things that they had done down through the years. They're suffering because of unbelief. You and I can suffer because of unbelief too. Not talking about losing our eternal heavenly home, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but we are talking about losing the joy of our salvation while we're living here.
Yeah.
And so he tells the children of Israel as they're coming into this time, he says, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live. I think he's talking about more than just living physically. He's talking about living spiritually and living in the hope and the promises of God. If you'll do these things that I've commanded you to do, you're going to be blessed. You're going to live. And he says, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Now, another one of these things, the promises of God in him are yea and in him are amen, right? He promised Abraham something back over there in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. And you know what? He fulfilled it. You say, well, it was 400 years later. Nobody was alive at the time it was fulfilled. But the word and the promises of God in him are yea and in him are amen. He promised Abraham he would have a child. You know what? He had a child. And it wasn't what him and the handmaid tried to work together, him and Hagar, but... No, it was what God worked to bring life back to the dead bodies. But anyway, he says, you're going to go in and possess this land which the Lord sware to your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. And to prove thee. God, you know, to prove thee. I want to stop just a minute. You know, God knew what was in them.
Yeah.
God wanted them to know what was in them. God wanted them to know how weak they were. And how it was possible to follow after the things of God. God had given them that ability to do that. But he said he suffered this. He said, he led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God wanted them to know. And he wanted to know, are you going to do it? Of course, I know he knows all things. He knew what the outcome was going to be. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Do we know God today? I mean, does anybody in this congregation say God would suffer us sometimes to hunger physically so that we might know about God better in our hearts and minds today? Oh, God would never do that. God wouldn't be fair if he did that. He said right here, he suffered these 40 years for them to humble them and them to find out whether they would follow his commandments, and he suffered them to hunger.
Yeah.
And there were times when the hunger got the best of them.
Yeah.
Lord, we're tired of this light bread.
Right.
We won't go back to Egypt. Do any of us ever get like that?
Yeah.
Lord, the church is not going like I want it to go. It's not as blessed as I want it to be. I want to see it more and more and more. I'm talking to Charles, by the way. Okay. I want to see these things. I'd be just as well off to go back to Egypt. No, sir, no way.
Amen.
Man does not live by bread alone.
Right.
But by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. The promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen.
Amen.
If we think God's just a little bit, I'm not saying he's not concerned if we're hungry in a little bit, but God wants to know what's in you today.
Amen.
He wants to know what's in. Are you going to remain faithful when everything's just? It's easy when everything's going well.
Yeah.
When the times get tough,
yeah.
We dig down and we find out what are we made out of a little bit,
yeah.
And are we trusting God for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are we thinking about praying to God and saying, God, I just want to eat next week. God, have you got a job for me? God, would you bless my family, my children? God, would you bless our church? Maybe instead of be always praying, say, Lord, I want you to add to the church. Lord, I want the church we have to be blessed.
Yeah, that's right.
I want what we already have to be lifted up to your honor and to your glory, and that they might come join to be at church.
Amen.
And not like this is something I've got to do
right
today. Or, well, you know, I guess I better get up and go to church. It's Sunday. No, I'm ready to go to the house of God because I believe God's going to give the man of God a message for me today. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He humbled thee and he suffered thee to hunger and he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. That's the reason they called it. What is it? What is it? They didn't know what it was. I tell you, it was a master product is what it was.
Yeah.
And when we think about Jesus being the bread, he said, I am the bread of life.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He fulfills our every need.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. And God fulfilled their, have you ever thought about stuff like this and sit around and think about, they ate manna. They never, you know, back in the days when the sailors were coming across to America, they had to make sure they carried limes and stuff on the shipboard so they didn't get scurvy. The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. There's no fruit trees out there.
Right.
They ate manna. They never had scurvy. They never had a lack of vitamin. That little piece of manna, my friend, was a fulfilling chock full of everything they needed.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, we loathe this light bread. Yeah. I suffered thee, he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know. God suffered them to hunger, he humbled them, that they might know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Yeah.
Why did he suffer this 40 years? Because they didn't believe him that he said he would give the land to them.
Right.
They were to be living by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God.
Right.
God told them, he promised Abraham, I'm going to give you the land. Now he brought them out of Egypt. And I mean, he told Abraham, he says, your children are going to go down into Egypt, and they're going to be there 400 years. The Bible records for us, they spent 430 years in there, and God brought them out. The night he brought them out was the 430th year. And he brought them out of Egypt. He fed them there in the wilderness. And you know, you think with all the things they had seen, the plagues they had seen, that God had brought upon the Egyptians, the Red Sea parting back, congealed, the Bible says, like jello, the sea waters came while they passed right through, dry shod. And now God says, I'm going to give you this land. Oh, Lord, there's giants over there. And the walled cities. Whew. Gracious, we can't do that. He never asked them to do it. He said, I'll give you the land. What he wanted to do is see them take a step and go forward in faith, trusting God. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, that Israel that's going to be saved. He says, the children, Galatians chapter 2 or 3, he says, the children of Abraham are not the natural seed of Abraham. He says the children of faith are the children of Abraham. So that includes us. We're children of Abraham today. We have a promised land that God has promised us. Are we looking for it? If he suffers us to hunger a little bit here and there, is it okay? Are we still living by the promises of God each and every day? Looking forward to that day that shall be? Let's turn over to Isaiah, chapter 55. Seek ye the Lord, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Are you feeling God's presence in this meeting?
Yes, sir. Praise God.
Seek him. Seek God right now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. You know, you can't return somewhere you've never been. This wicked man, these people here that he's saying, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. You know, God's people can get unrighteous and wicked.
Yes, they can.
The children of Israel had, and sometimes we do. But let us repent and return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh to bring forth forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. This didn't say the preacher's mouth. Didn't say this word would ever be void of sometimes of God's people responding to it like they should. But God's word that goeth forth out of his mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word. The Bible tells us, we turn over into the book of John, we turn to John chapter 5 to start with, but he says there, things that are going on, discussion he's having here, he says, verily, verily, verse 25, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. It's not going to return to him void. The hour is coming, and now is. This was happening while Jesus was here. We're not talking about some point in the future when he's going to raise the dead at his coming of the second time. We're talking about the raising of the dead right now. The hour's coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Therefore, when God calls, my friends, we answer. I look at when God called Lazarus from the tomb. Lazarus wasn't in there thinking, I wonder if I should respond to this. No, when God called Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't just say, come forth. The tombs would have opened up. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth wrapped in his grave clothes. And I don't believe he was, I believe he floated out of there, my friend. I believe he floated out of there, laid down, and they unwrapped him. And he says, give this man something to eat. I'll tell you, he said, the hour's coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And God's word does not return to him void. And now he says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He was God and man. Because he was the Son of Man, God says, you're the pattern, and you're going to have you'll have judgment over things. Now then, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour's coming. Not now is.
Right.
The hour's coming in which all that are in the grave. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, yes, Jesus sir. Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's a whole other story, right? It's good. God's word does not return to him void. It's going to accomplish that which he sent it to. Amen. And the one that he sent it to. And it's going to bring forth life. And we can live today and look back at the promises of God. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about.
Amen.
God told his people, he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. In fact, in you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. You're out of thy seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. That seed came forth, that seed, the Bible tells us, is Christ. In that seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed.
Yes,
every kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe on the face of the earth.
Amen.
He says, Abraham, see your people? He said, look at the stars in the sky. If you can count them, you can count your people.
Hey.
Now we turn to Revelation chapter 5 and we see a great innumerable host gathered together there on the other side that no man can number. That same group of people, the elect of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, without the loss of a single one, brought forth. So, he says, if we turn over now to John chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. You and I, my friends, are just feasting on the manna.
Amen.
From a bountiful supply. When we feast on the Word of God, we believe His promises, believe it's yea and amen, believe it's true, that the fact that He promised eternal, the Bible says, God who cannot lie, promised eternal life before the world began.
Yeah.
God, my friends, promised that He would bring eternal life to His people,
right,
and that His people would be gathered together with Him. God's promises in Him are yea and amen. So you and I, we're not living by just every day. You know, we'll go eat in here a little while, but I want you to remember while you're eating that you and I need more than just physical bread. We need the spiritual bread and the promises of God. You know what's wrong with a lot of people today? The reason so many people are with drugs and alcohol and sex addictions and all these other things, there's a great spot missing in them because they have no hope. This word gives us hope, my friends. Gives us hope of a day, and it's built. That hope is built on the promises of God, being in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. May God bless you, I pray.
We're going to stand and sing one verse, number 75. Now, okay.